Okay, guys, so welcome back to the Humble Coach Podcast. This is your host, Padraig. I am joined today by Niall Connolly from CrossFit DSC in Finglas in Dublin. Niall, you're very welcome.
Thanks for having me, Padraig.
No worries, dude, no worries. So Niall, you've got an excellent gym up in Dublin in CrossFit DSC, but and you've been kind of involved in a lot of different either competitions or in the CrossFit scene for and the functional fitness scene in general, even before fitting in CrossFit for a good while. But could you give us a little bit of background on yourself and how you got into coaching and into the facility kind of buzz? Go for it.
Well, I'm in this game now for 20 years, so some people would say probably too long. Started off, the whole objective was, when I did my leaving cert, was to try and become a PE teacher, to be honest. Wasn't a brain surgeon, so I hadn't got enough points to make it to UL. UL was the only place that kind of did PE teaching at the time. So I took the side road there by going to do a PLC leisure management course with the aspirations of maybe going over to one of the UK colleges and becoming a PE teacher or a sports scientist over that way. But I think I was a year into the 2 year course and I was getting offered jobs already. So I kind of took a few of them. Where the college I was in had a kind of a gym, and they asked me to cover a couple of people while they were off on holidays. And someone else asked me to go and work as a fitness instructor in a squash court. And then I just kept getting offered jobs, so I stayed in it, and I made a living out of it for a while, and I went from there, you know.
Nice, nice, good stuff.
So I was in the
Go
for a long time. Yeah, I was kind of a I taught everything from aqua aerobics to body pump, step aerobics, Les Mills, spinning. I did all that stuff. I did my time.
Yeah, I know how it is. Don't worry. But yeah, so I suppose, like, were you always based in Dublin, or did you travel at all or anything like that to work, or?
I did the whole usual, the Australia thing and all that stuff. Kind of, I got a job on just off Old Bondi Road there, working for, I think it was called Dirk's Fitness or something. He was like a shop, like he sold all running shoes, but he had a kind of a 6 a.m. Boot camp kind of running, kind of half kind of circuit class going on every morning. I did that for weeks, but you know, I was kind of enjoying myself, and I didn't really want to be getting up at 6 o'clock every morning. My now wife wasn't too happy with me leaving all the time and, you know, missing out on parties with all our friends. So I ended up just getting a basic builder's job and enjoyed Australia. I
Nice.
came back, and you know, I literally was, I think they, again, same thing, the job I left were ringing when they had me penciled into when I was coming home, and I think I was home 3 days and I was already back in the gym.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah, it was all right.
good stuff. So I suppose, yeah, the kind of moving a little more into kind of recent times, you're like, well, you've been affiliated to CrossFit DSC with CrossFit since about, is it 2012, 2013, I think, is
I think this is 2013, yeah. So we're
something
just
like that.
coming up on our, I think, fourth or fifth year, whatever it is, yeah, fourth year. Yeah.
And is there a particular thing that attracted you to CrossFit, or to even just kind of setting up a gym? Did you have
Yeah, nearly
a gym
nearly never
before kind of affiliate with CrossFit?
nearly never happened, to be honest. I had me fail with it. I went and applied for the fireman. I got onto the panel for the firefighter job. And I was about to leave it all behind, you know, just go and, you know, get a full-time job, do all this. And then, obviously, the recession kicked in. So listeners probably don't even remember when the recession was, but that kicked in, and I was like, right, I need to do something else here. So I was going to go and become a S&C coach, or I was going to go and do a, you know, look into that. And I was on a couple of courses. I did like the Carl Gilligan course, and I was doing a kettlebell course, and I bumped into Alan Sherry.
Nice.
Now, at the time, all the people I was listening to, I would be listening to Mike Boyle, like, you know, Eric Cressy, all that stuff. That's all the stuff I'd be reading. So that was all kind of anti-CrossFit at the time, you know. So I was a bit of a CrossFit hater, you know, slagging off the kit and pull-ups and all that stuff. And all first he was, yeah. And then I was on Shane Nicoletti's kettlebell there, and I bumped into this fella Alan Cherry with a CrossFit hoodie on. And you know, he was reading the same things as me. He obviously knew a lot more than me, to be honest. But bumped into him again, the Carl Gilligan set. So I was talking to him. I went out and I saw his gym and realised what I was training was pretty much very, very similar to CrossFit. Yeah. You know, kind of, I was doing the strength work. Obviously, it wouldn't be kind of nothing along the lines of .com kind of training. It was on a linear progression, strength training with accessory work and then like a 15, 20-minute finisher at the end of your workouts. Yeah. So I was training my PT clients and all that stuff. And then I was toying with that idea, and there was another guy called Barry M out in Endeavour Gym out in Liffey Valley there, and he was a UK SEA guy, so I did a couple of day modules. Like I went up to Jordan College, hit their UK SEA modules to see if I was gonna go down that way, and I just made a decision then to go across because it was a bit more crack. It wasn't a serious, you know, kind of. It was a bit more fun, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I went left and I became a CrossFit wanker.
Nice. I think it's interesting like that.
Alan, Paul
Allen,
you know.
Yeah, no. Alan's fantastic. Alan's a smart dude. And I think if it's an interesting one there that I would have done a little bit of the same, like done a lot of kettlebell work and
yeah.
A bit of the UK SEA stuff as well, and really toyed, and I suppose I still toy with the S&C kind of thing, you know. But I don't know, I think I'm always a bit torn. I think, like you say there, the CrossFit thing is just a little bit more fun, nearly.
Yeah, it is. It's not as serious, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a couple of guys here. We have, like, obviously, you know, Mairead and Roisin. Mairead's fella, he's a member here as well, and he's on the Irish water polo team as well as Mairead. And he comes in, like, he, you know, off-season he'll do CrossFit, but he's on his own kind of a specific program from Ireland, you know. And he's been telling me, he's like, oh my God, this is boring. You know, it's just, he's looking at everybody else doing the classes and, you know, we're still lifting the same. We're just having a bit more fun. It's end of things. And you can see that, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the thought it's over to as well, to be honest, you know.
Mm, totally. I suppose, yeah, so we'll kind of jump to that, I suppose. Like would you have encountered, like you've got a couple of really fairly decent athletes. Like you said, the Bakers are, pretty high level international athletes, and have you found any particular challenges working with them, or has it been quite a, like that you said, like kind of the off season type of a thing and just a bit more fun?
It's to be honest, they're the easiest guys to coach. Mm-hmm. They move well, they do all the homework, you know. You're gonna have clients who have potential, but you know, again, it's I train 4 days a week. I go home. I play my sports. I have my family. I have my 40-hour week of job, and like you know, you're trying to tell them if you did a bit more mobility at home, you know, if you kind of sign up the wrong one maybe, and just added a little bit extra work, you'd be moving 10 times better. You don't have to say it to them. You say it once, and you know it's, you know, but to be honest, it's still there. It's still like you know, CrossFit is still down there. Like they still have sports above this. Like, I don't know if you noticed, Roisin last year and the Fieldy 150 went off halfway through the Fieldy 150 to go and play a semi-final Camogie match. Like, and the gas thing was, it was never a choice of, it's either CrossFit or Camogie, because we would have lost every time, you know.
Yeah.
Like, Roisin, she was on the Dublin team there in the final there, when we lost Westmead there last week, you know. So, if they ever do, you know, decide that CrossFit is going to be their number one sport, I think there's going to be a lot of people upset, to be honest, you know, because they have that winning, you know, mentality, everything dialed in, you know.
And they can, like that, exactly, they can switch it around quite quickly. They just have that natural aptitude.
They also have Orgy here as well. Orgy is the girl who won the Gladiators. Remember the Irish girl who won the Gladiators back in the 80s?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, she's one of our athletes here as well, you know.
Nice. So like I suppose, yeah, with kind of following on from that now, would you, looking at the last couple of competitions, like big competitions you would have ran, like the most recently anyways, the Capital Games, which was really excellent, it looked like an excellent competition, and then Chaos in the Capital last year, have you been pushing a bit more towards a competitive kind of an element? I know you had a few decent
teams
floating around.
Yeah, no. We to be honest, I don't have a competitive program. We've had a couple of you know, we toyed around with maybe training specifically. What we did was before, I think we, like, leading up to the Open in 2017, we opened had a, we had like what we call a CrossFit class, and we had our S&C class.
Yeah.
Or what we had, S&C class would have been more geared towards, you know, no focus on Olympic lifting. Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit of Olympic lifting, but basically it was all bang for your buck movement. So
yeah.
They were coming, they had their strength training, their a little bit of, you know, gymnastic element to keep the fun involved, and then some conditioning. Yeah. So there was no focus on, for example, like, you know, the way I was trying to explain to them was, a lot of these people are 3 days a week, maybe twice a week, and they have 3 hours of the week where they need to, you know, burn calories or, you know, something that has, the highest, you know, metabolic demand on them. So them with a PVC pipe for half a class doing a snatch is not going to get them where they want to be. So we decided to go and give them, you know, a straightforward squat, bench, deadlift kind of workout with awards, and it went well. But what we noticed is it kind of, the gym became kind of two different, you know, it became segmented. The community got worse because of it. I always live with a CrossFit gym, you know, it's a very, very small percentage of competitors. If they want to compete, we'll give them extra work.
Exactly.
So when we program for the CrossFit classes, we'll program for the best, and then we'll scale everything afterwards. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, say, for example, we have Mairead in. Mairead will still have a, you know, a training demand. She'll have a certain level of, say, weightlifting or gymnastics.
Yeah.
But let's say she's got like, let's say for example, the Tuesday we're working on toaster bars. Some people are still working on getting the toaster bars. Where she has toaster bars, she's going to work on her gymnastics conditioning. So she'll be doing sets of a higher number of reps, short rest, and, you know, working on the conditioning of it. So we have everyone training the same, is what I'm trying to say. So we're never really going to get down to the competitive end of things, because we like everyone to train together.
Yeah.
Keep it a strong community, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah. I agree. I think, like, in our place, the same, we have that mentality, and we've toyed with a lot of different ideas, and the structure we have at the moment, I think, is the culture of the gym went through a bit of a strange kind of a phase, and now it's back in a really, really nice place. And it's still competitive within the classes for those who want to be competitive, absolutely, but it's given 100%. Us more scope as coaches to definitely kind of go, right, look, you need more of this, end of story.
Yeah.
And not put too many balls on other people, you know.
So at the end of the day, they're coming to get better at CrossFit as well. So, you know, you can't be denying that fact. You know, I want to get better at this now. Well, yeah, okay, well, we'll program that, make sure you make the difference, and, you know, and then the people who have that, there's an ongoing skill development for that as well, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose I'm gonna go back to the competitions a little bit, but how did you find running those competitions recently, this year and last year? Any major headaches or just really, really good enjoyable banter? Like,
it was good on the day. I was exhausted after. I was physically and emotionally drained. You know, I didn't even watch RX men's final. It was just, I gave my phone to my brother, Lloyd. I went off and I sat down. I was kind of completely fatigued. So I think I was trying to do too much on the day. Don't get me wrong, the gym was amazing. All of our gym, you know, it made Capital Games what it was, you know. I did the programming and I was on the microphone at the end of the day, but there was so much, everyone else was doing everything else, but I would never do more than one, to be honest. I think I did a survey there for it straight after, and I did ask, because some people kind of messaged me saying, yeah, I'd love to do a mixed one and this and that. Like, you know what, there's way too many competitions on the Irish calendar as it is. But I put the anyway, but it was more, you know, please say no. Please say
yeah.
So let me just do one every year. If I can do one year and make it, you know, as good as it's been, you know, I'll be happy.
I think especially something like that kind of size, like, it's you're right,
it was 200.
Like that, it's a nice big build up as well to a particularly big competition.
Absolutely. Like, and to be honest, this is a second year, you know. We're not trying to compete with the Fieldy 150 or Unison, is what they're called. Like, they've been around, they've done it, they have the majority holding on. But we have, you know, we've got something good here, and like where we have it in DCU is great. It's a really good venue, and it's been 2 years in a row now. It's gone well, you know.
Nice. Yeah, like I think that's definitely one that will it'll grow in.
Yeah.
A bit, like, it's you've made a very good start with it, so I think it'll. Go well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it seems like we've got a good few people kind of. Wanting to invest in it next year as well, like, you know, kind of, now if that comes off, we'll see. You know, there's a lot of talk at the moment, you know. yeah. We just got to see what they'll say for next year, you know.
Nice. I suppose we kind of move a little bit into the, generally into the coaching kind of philosophy type of style. I suppose, like that, with your, you've got a fairly vast amount of experience there from a lot of the different, even elements, I suppose, even in Irish fitness anyways, a lot of the different parts and different directions you could easily go.
Yeah.
For anybody who's in, if you're in a regular gym instructor, for towards S&C or towards CrossFit or whatever, and I suppose, would you have a preferred style of coaching? Like, are you very vocal in your classes or in your personal training and your general coaching, or are you kind of a bit more quiet, one-to-one kind of style, or have you a particular preference?
Yeah, I'm a bit of everything, to be honest, because of what you said. Like, you know, like when you're a spinning instructor, you've got to be screaming your lungs off. Personal trainer, you're literally like an agony aunt, to be honest. Mm. You know, you're the bartender there, listening to people's problems and stuff like that. That's therefore, but as a coach, but again, it completely, it's to me, the answer to that is, you know, I hate it, but it is, it depends. It depends on the person.
Yeah, I know.
Depends on the class. It depends on, like, you could have, you know, I would say if I have a name, I'd be reactive. I am very, very voicey. Kind of vocal. I'd be talking out loud. I have the voice for it. But again, only to people that want that, you know, like if someone, you know, you'll have someone and you'll see, they'll kind of, you can tell where they kind of set up in the class. If, you know, if they're down the back or, you know, you're not going to pull them up front or, you know, shouting across the room to them to, you know, lock out at the top of the thruster or whatever else. You need to kind of go out and, you know, face to face, you know, and talk that way. Or then you've got the kind of the loudmouth in the gym who you kind of, loved a bit of center of attention where you kind of a little bit of slagging goes on or you know you're screaming at them for this, that and the other and you know don't drop the toys or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So it completely depends. It depends on what it is. It also depends on the part of the class as well, if you know what I mean. If you're taking an hour class, like what do you like at the warm-up? Mm-hmm. You know, what like depends on if someone's testing someone's percentage work or if they're working on their skill work or you know or the metcon. So, you know, to be honest, I don't have a philosophy. I'm not really, you need to talk to smarter people who can define these things. I just kind of, reactive is probably what I'd say to the person in front.
That's a pretty decent answer anyways. I wouldn't worry about that. That's pretty good.
I was pulling over that one. I couldn't really think of anything to say.
No, that's pretty good. I mean, I think I agree with you on that. I think my own style would be a little bit like that. We were doing floor presses and stuff, we'd say, in one of the lunchtime class today. And got a good few experienced characters in there. They kind of know the drill. Having a bit of banter as well, because some of them, a good few of them work together kind of in a factory up there, or in an office up the road and stuff. And then you have one or two of the kind of quietish characters. So half of them I could have really just kind of left off and had to give them a little small touch here and there. But other ones definitely needed a little bit more in it. But
Are you going over them too much? Like, again, self-conscious of hanging them over me all the time here. Am I doing everything wrong? Or you know, just enough to kind of, you know, again, it depends on the on completely. And that's down to experience. You're not gonna read that. You're gonna literally learn it the hard way by doing it wrong.
No, very true. We'll kind of move on a little bit, I suppose. Not a huge amount, but is there anything in particular you see that other coaches kind of either in our own CrossFit realm or in the general fitness realm that we could improve on or we're kind of missing the boat on a little bit? Have you noticed anything in the last kind of either number of years that we're kind of under working on?
I don't know. To be honest, though, I don't really know. I was kind of thinking about that. It depends, you know. It definitely seems to become more personal, to be honest, like the likes of Max El Haj and training King Tank. It seems to be going that way. But again, you're not seeing that they probably are part of that's what they're doing full time. Like, but, you know, at the end of the day, you have to face it. Like, I'm coming to the conclusion myself now that I'm not really a coach anymore. I'm a business owner.
Yeah.
So the coaching, to be honest, the coaching part is kind of, I'm trying to stay on top of it, but I'm trying to learn a lot more about the business end of things. So, but if you the way what we're missing out on is, you know, I think it's going personal. It's definitely a bigger market out there. People are, you know, it's kind of becoming CrossFit personal training, if you know what I mean. They want to get better at the CrossFit end of things, or they need a little bit more than what the class is giving. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know the them part because that's still this very, very small percentage of people who do CrossFit. I want to compete. Mm-hmm. You know, for every one of them, you're going to get 15 people who just want to come in and have a little bit of laugh and train and get a...
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really interesting point. Like, I think Max and the lads are fantastic, but they're in a bit of a different environment, and they've gone in that particular direction on their own choosing, not necessarily on a kind of business mentality. Like Max has chosen that as a business direction as well. I think a lot of people like yourself and ourselves included, we don't have as many of that, and we don't have the emphasis on that kind of invitations to client to competitive people. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
It's too small, but I think just look at.
But as opposed to, like, you know, in the general coach, you just have to, you know, assess yourself, like take stock of what you're doing every day. You know, like on a better warm up, could you have been more specific on the warm up? Could you have, you know, emphasized the training focus of the Metcon? Like, are you, oh, you know, you see the Ben Bergeron thing. Your goal is not to make your members RX the workout; it's to get them to put the proper train and dose response. Are you programming right? You're putting too much into the program. You know, if you constantly ask them questions, you're going to come up with some kind of answers, and that means you are trying to get better, you know, individually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more than, I agree. I mean, I suppose just to change tack a tiny bit on the business kind of mentality. How have you found, like, you've moved into a new facility kind of recently?
Yeah. Well, not with choice. I'm moving at the same time as well, and I am just finished running, you know, let's say the third biggest competition, maybe the fourth biggest competition.
Definitely.
Okay. So I'm a little bit stressed at the moment, you could say, you know.
My apologies for extra stressing.
Yeah. But
and how's the new place going? And like, I suppose,
yeah, have you
changed your business mentality, like via courses or anything like that, in the last maybe year, 2 years, kind of thing? I suppose just as you're like that, you're saying you're moving towards a bit more of a business mentality in it, at least. Has anything in particular changed your mind, like, be it like that, towards more of a personal training kind of development, or do you see a bit more of a push in a particular direction that we should be kind of being a bit more copped on about, possibly?
You know, I don't really know. Like, I think it depends on who you talk to as well. Like, you know, I did the affiliate solution seminar there. It was very retiring. That was really, really good.
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, keep it simple. Make sure you cross the classes are going well. Don't move into your specialty classes until. But then if you talk to other people, it's just, why are you kind of narrowing yourself down? Like, not necessarily specialty classes in CrossFit, but, like, you know, should open up the door to, like, let's say there's a bootcamp class three doors down to you, and they are full every day because they're afraid to come to your classes. So you maybe, you know, change the wording on something on your social media, your marketing, anything. Should you start advertising, like, personal training? Should you get, like, you know, call your beginner's class something else, like a high intensity boot camp or something like that. The dreaded boot camp word, but just to get them in the door, and then they'll realize that there's not much difference, but there's a lot more. Like, you know, I had a great bit of feedback from our beginner's course this week. It was like there's a girl on personal training as well, and I got her into the beginner's class, and she's loving it because she was a bit dubious about coming into, you know, group training again. She's been off, you know, off the wagon for a while due to, you know, individual, you know, circumstances, personal circumstances. But she was loving it. Like, I'm not in just there putting a set of headphones on and running on a treadmill or looking at someone else taking a selfie. Like, there's unlearning stuff. Like, I'm completely immersed in the hour of, like, learning how to do this Olympic lift or learning how to do this, I don't know, deadlifts, kettlebell swing, whatever we do on the beginner's course. And I was like, that's something we should really be marketing on or whatever. I don't know. So, you know.
Mm, yeah, I mean, I think there is a lot of that stuff that we definitely, maybe it's just because we're so close to the actual action that we end up kind of, especially as coaches, we end up getting a bit kind of forgetting a little bit about and actually kind of missing the wood for the trees sometimes.
I think you're right
that a lot of that could probably be used in a better situation or a better manner at least. I think sometimes it can be like that though. It can be hard to, we maybe over romanticize what exact responses we're going to be getting or what the full feedback is like. But I think that kind of feedback is just as valuable, and it's
absolutely
super important. I think we just
have to be more patient. Yeah, it was completely off the cup as well. So, you know, if you had an email to an asshole for free, like, you probably wouldn't have said that, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, it's those nice things. I said the same to a couple of people in the last day, and they were like, I absolutely love it. And I was like, oh, I thought you were kind of just a bit in between on it, you know?
Yeah, you're in the moment, yeah.
They're full tilt. So I won't keep you an awful lot longer. I'm curious if you have a couple of bits. Is there a particular, I know I ask all the time, but is there a particular any coaches or resources that you are a kind of big fan of, or even in these days you're kind of getting more into, or have you got a couple of books that you're, are you much of a reader that you get into?
Obviously my reading has kind of taken a back seat for a while there. Like, obviously I've got the Benzema book, Yet and Chase, and so I read that one. I read Tiskman's Fit into Sport there recently That was actually alright. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he had his own opinion on it. He was working off data and all. It was actually alright. I'd read that again. Obviously, the Hybrid Athlete was a good one as well.
Yeah, very good.
You know, you can't go back. I'm kind of half thinking about going back over some old books. Like, you know, it was a really good book though. That Never Let Go with Dan John.
Oh, you read that?
Great book. Just a load of art, animation and all that. It was really good. I don't know. Are you asking me for yourself, or are you talking about any people who are new to...
More in general, I suppose, like that. Like, they're fairly good resources. Like, anybody, I've read those, and I haven't read Fitness and Sport yet, but read the others.
Sport part of CrossFit, it is good, you know.
Yeah. But haven't read the others. I mean, in a very general kind of sense, like Never Let Go is one of my favorites, just because
really?
It's so straightforward and so much
fun. Yeah, it's like it's Dan John. It's typical of Dan John. It's like, you know, if you read Angry Him, it's all no bullshit.
Yeah.
Just, you know, this and that, you know.
Exactly.
And then obviously you have your, if you want to go read Super Training, that's a great one to read. I've tried reading that 5 times and I... still can't understand it.
I think it's like A Brief History of Time. It's just, it's hard to...
And it's like, I think Ulysses is easier to read.
they're fantastic shouts. Have you a next step coaching development wise yourself? Are you looking at any courses, or are you, like you're saying, you're going to kind of push the
end
a little more potentially? Or...
I want to hit the OPEX. I want to do the CCP, and I want to do the Max L. Hodge ones as well, the Tiny Team Tank ones. But as a business owner, it's not really on the horizon straight away. I need to, again, as I said, it's a small percentage of the individual training stuff. I think I have a decent grasp on how to work on people's weaknesses and make them better at certain, you know, the energy systems training or other stuff and all that stuff. I think I have a good grasp on that. But again, yeah, that's where I will go. But I think I need to kind of... My focus needs to be more on, you know, a good, sound business model first, I think, and understanding what those two words mean together.
Yeah.
I need those for dummies books, to be honest, you know.
Nice, yeah, that's good.
But like, you know, I've read a lot of coaching books and stuff like that, and so I think I need to put a bit more focus into the business and things. But yeah, if you're asking me what's next for me coaching-wise, it's definitely OPEX and Training Team Tank, or one or the other, or both.
Nice, good stuff, excellent. Well, now I'm gonna leave you to it, dude. I know you got a bolt in coach your class fairly soon. Really, really appreciate you coming on, mate. It's been a really good chat.
Yeah, definitely.
Hope you've enjoyed it, mate.
As I thought, you're a very good host.
Thank you very much, bro. Cheers. So, guys, yeah, I'll put a link into to CrossFit DSC's social media pages, etc., and the link up to the website and stuff, and keep an eye out for the Capital Games next year. It's going to be an excellent competition, and Niall's a good head for the community. So I appreciate you coming on, Niall.
Well, thanks for that, man. Have a good weekend. Bye bye.